very loud voice. So this is just a time to share in the bigger group about what's to be gained by practicing guru devotion. And in a way, I think we were, certainly in our group, we were starting to get into that almost organically, but thinking about that together, what's to be gained by guru devotion, practicing purely? What's the benefit? Enlightenment. Oh, that!
Am I okay?
Protection.
Protection. Say a bit more.
Protection from getting into heavy stuff, bad stuff, negative spaces, losing confidence in the path.
I'd say encouragement. It encourages me to keeps me practicing. All the little things that I've been taught, little things and little memories from a particular instance, a particular in time, you know, with just the same amount of those things.
Maybe along with that inspiration.
Knowing that it's possible to be other than normal mundane stuff.
We were just talking with Catherine, and I was just saying, you know, if I had met somebody like this, that whole experience, it's all very well hearing everybody going on about it, but not having the experience, I think that helps clarify it a little bit, clarify the reason for it.
But on the other hand, you still can pick up some of that, even from, say, seeing His Holiness on a TV show.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama.
Yeah,
can,
it's true.
You know, and you almost see, you know, if he's somewhere like that, you sometimes see presenters that are a bit hardened normally, sort of slightly out of their depth, not knowing the, you know, slightly asking their questions in more, in different sorts of ways.
What was his name at Manchester?
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. I thought, oh my God, Russell Brand. But he was just a little bunny out there.
And there was a TV show of Rick Stein meeting the Dalai Lama, and I know someone who knows him, and they were having a dinner together, and he said, oh, you know, what did you think of the Dalai Lama? And he just couldn't, had no words for it, you know, he just said, you know, amazing, just completely, you know,
that's a cookery program or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gives you humility, and it stops you thinking, like you do a lot of the time, about your own self and your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you that humility that cuts you away from that, which we get so much, don't we, really, through the our society.
Yeah,
I find that whenever I feel there's a sort of some sort of conflict there, whenever I feel there's some sort of drag there, rather than saying I don't believe in this, I just see very clearly how it's just a reflection of my own ego.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rinpoche says that sort of like it's like the guru is like a mirror, and you've got a smudge on your forehead, and you look at the mirror and you blame the mirror for the smudge. You know? Whereas, when Rinpoche's being completely and utterly unreasonable, you know, actually, no, he's not. It's my ego saying I don't want to do that, you know. And as long as I'm willing to sort of just delve a little bit further, invariably it's that, you know. So it's sort of, he's a wonderful teacher on just how much ego is there to get dug out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you also provide, I think, a certain goal, even if you can't define what the goal is, it gives you a direction, a certain focus. And if you can't define what that is, it's an impetus, really, I find. And so you've got something to sort of move towards. If you can't really project, what is it? No idea. So, I mean, in fact, you just follow it, I think, and broke like the best one can. See where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, following on from what Gordon said, it takes you beyond what you thought you could do. The guru stretches you.
Mm-hmm.
takes you over the limit, and you find, yeah, that's okay, I can do that. Helps you grow, I suppose. Maybe that's what growth is, just going beyond your previous limit.
I was struck by the bit in the meditation about, you know, how that some of the attributes such as renunciation or compassion or emptiness, all these things kind of naturally, I think the words were from Rinpoche, you know, that they, the kind of impediments to these just naturally cease, and those qualities can grow naturally just by being in that, you know, just by that practice of guru devotion. And that just seems really powerful to me, but it also seems to make sense that, you know, again, even if it's just watching the Dalai Lama on the TV, it sort of brings forth your better mind and some of the other bits, you know, recede.
And just some of, just reading a paragraph or of something from something like His Holiness or Lamsopa, and it can resonate so strongly, you know, that you take it out into your daily life, and it really helps with, you know, meet when you're with people, or, you know, when you're just getting going on with your own, with your business. So, yeah.
We were talking as well about that, the openness that comes from your side, and I just remember I used to in the school I used to work in, there was one teacher who, very charismatic, very lovely man, and always, all the his kids in his class absolutely adored him, and they would do anything for him, and they just learned so much. I mean, it's not an alien concept here we're talking about. They would just learn so much, you know, in that, the year they had with Mr. Bird. And you can see it's the same effect, because you're open, you're, the resistance isn't there, you're not, you know, checking intellect there, but you're not challenging all the time, or you're not fighting, really, I guess, isn't it?
Fighting.
Well, in that sense, the people that you've known in your life who have been very influential, the very few, but who you've had a very special connection with, it's like a preparation, really, isn't it? The things that you, that your ego is being kind of a base, that it's almost beyond description what but the feeling you have about them, the positive feeling, it then becomes, you can see how this can develop into the sense of looking towards the guru.
Yes. A bit like falling in love. The barriers go down. You don't feel separate.
I don't know. Falling in love is a whole. That's too tempestuous.
Yeah,
I think this is a kind of that deep admiration that you have, that you have for people, certainly very few people, because very much inside, and you take from them a kind of, you know, life lessons, I suppose.
So it's more reliable than falling in love.
Yeah.
That's open to discussion.
It's more transcendental, isn't it?
But there can still be challenges which will make it a little bit more like that sometimes, I suppose, depending on your own, you know, sort of challenges that you face when you, you know, you're looking at the teachings. There can be quite a few challenges, really, especially with ego and all of that, so... not always easy. It's not even though we can rely on it and sort of open up to it, we can still this is a bit, can I do this?
It's not often easy.
Right, so it can be pretty challenging in that sense.
Seems like we've come to a natural pause for dedication.
have your prayer sheets handy. And bring your palms together at your near your heart centre. It's quite good to dedicate. Anyway, I think it's good to dedicate like this, so I recommend it. Bring your right palm representing method, bodhicitta, compassion, and so forth, and your left palm representing wisdom, the intuitive knowledge of reality, and they touch. So when they touch, they become the transcendence which leads to enlightenment. And then you tuck your thumbs in, which is a sort of Buddhist way. It's like holding a jewel. And the jewel is just next to your heart center. And it's all the positive potential developed in this session, which is at your heart, not in your brain, at your heart. And then you dedicate or seal it with emptiness, which means realizing that this positive potential came about through causes and conditions. It's just dependently originated. It doesn't exist from its own side. It does exist, but it's empty. And then we dedicate it that we may become enlightened, which again doesn't exist from its own side, but it does exist. For the sake of all sentient beings who don't exist from their own side, but they do exist. It's just trying to understand all this cause and effect in terms of emptiness, which makes it much, much more powerful and also secures it from destruction by anger. This dedication of this positive potential to enlightenment is now secure from being destroyed by anger. By remembering emptiness, which means remembering that it's dependently originated, and therefore it does exist, but not inherently. And we also dedicate it for the long lives, particularly of His Holiness and Lama Zopa, who we kept mentioning this session, but also include any other gurus that you have. And they also do not exist from their own side, but they do exist, and their long lives are important. Very important. Just think how much benefit they bring to the world, not just oneself. Jang Chub San Chub Rinpoche Ma Kye Pa Lam Kye Gyur Chi Kye Wa Nyam Pa Me Pa Yang Go Le Gon Du Pel Wa La Shon Gang Ri Jing Jang Gun Gelway Ten.